A series we've been on for about 3 weeks so far. I think we've got a couple more we're going to do. We're just getting into some of the good stuff now. We're getting into how the Holy Spirit speaks to us. But let's start with some prayer this morning. Father, we again are lifting our voices up to you as our God and our King. You're our Creator, the one that made us. And Father, we know that having made us in such a way to make us with a body, soul, and a spirit, that your Spirit now living inside of us, that we are deeply connected with you. And so, Father, as we press into your word, we understand more of you and your Holy Spirit this morning. I pray again that you will, Father, reveal some things to us about your nature, about who you are, about who we are in Christ and our relationship with you as a new creation. And that, Father, you'll reveal some things to us about your Spirit and how you speak to us and ways that you get your message across, not only to us, but then how you'll use your Spirit to speak right through us. Father, we're praising and exalting you in the name of Jesus this morning. We pray and say, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So how does the Holy Spirit speak to and through you? Does anybody want to know the answer to that question?
Yes.
Raise your hand if you want to know the answer to that question.
Yes.
Okay. Getting to know the Holy Spirit is a powerful experience in our life. Okay. This is a question I believe that anybody who is wanting to go deeper with God is going to want to know the answer to that question. Okay, and if you don't want to go deeper with God, there's a church just down the street that might fit the bill a little bit better than this one. I want to know God more. I want to go deeper with God. I've been walking with Him for a long time, and yet I'm not there yet. Okay, I know that there's more experiences. There's things I'm understanding today that even a month ago or a year ago or 10 years ago were not even on the surface. I didn't quite get it. And all of a sudden, today, things are standing out. Okay, the Holy Spirit takes us beyond the natural into the supernatural. Okay, He is holy and He is a spirit. Okay, we don't always see what Him personally or see Him in the natural, but He takes us beyond the natural world. Okay, that we can see, taste, touch, feel, hear, you know, smell, all those things. And He takes us beyond that into a supernatural experience with God. How many know God is supernatural? Okay, God is beyond the natural. Okay, in the natural, you don't part seas wide open, right? In the natural, guys don't walk up with a man with leprosy and lay hands on him and they're healed completely. Okay, in the natural, those things don't happen, but in the supernatural, they do. We have seen over the last few weeks about the Holy Spirit, we've seen how He's active in our life. Okay, He is actively interceding for us according to the will of God. I mean, He is working on behalf of our weaknesses. Okay, you and He know what those are. And so the Holy Spirit is interceding with God on your behalf of those things. The fruits of the Spirit, we know, are, you know, the peace, love, joy, patience, kindness, goodness, long-suffering, patience, you know, gentleness, all these things that are being produced by the Holy Spirit to emanate through us. Okay, it's fruit that is in us. Okay, it's ready and we just need to present it out there so it can be plucked by the people around us. Okay, we now are going to get into more of the hows. Okay, the how does it happen? Okay, how does the Holy Spirit speak to you? And how does the Holy Spirit speak through you? Okay, obviously the Word of God, the Holy Scriptures, okay, aka your Bible, right? Okay, also known as the Bible, is one powerful way that God will speak to you. How many have a Bible this morning? I know we put them up on a big screen. It's not always as common anymore for people to bring up. A lot of people have them on their phones and tablets and whatever else. But your Bible is one of the key ways, if you don't already know this, that God is going to speak to you. Okay? There are times when the Holy Spirit is going to quicken, okay, make alive certain passages at the very precise moment when you're reading it, when you need to know something. And He will speak to you deeply about something about your life, or He'll speak to you something about Him, or He'll speak to you about a situation that is going on in your life right now. It's in the Word of God. Okay, if you're not hearing much from the Spirit of God, my first suggestion is going to be Start reading your Bible on a regular basis because He will speak to you. Okay, He will speak to you. I remember years and years ago in a different city that I lived in, I had led the people to Christ at the place that I was working as just a part-time in the evenings. And one of the people that was working there, I had a conversation outside of work, and I can't remember where we were going. I was taking her and her friend somewhere, and they were talking about, you know, things of God. Of course, I always brought that up. And so we get talking about God, and I said, well, you know what? God said this, and God said that, and God told me this. And they're like, how does God speak to you? Do you like hear an audible voice? And my answer at that time was that it's right here. He has spoken and spoken and spoken. And all I got to do is read, and He just keeps speaking more and more things to me. So the Bible, you're as Christians, we know that reading your Bible is a great place to start. Okay, if we're wanting to hear what God has to say to us, that is a great, great place to start. Okay, we know that we're supposed to read our Bible. In fact, every day is what I would recommend. Read your Bible, get a passage, get a verse, get something, get a chapter. Okay, get something where you're getting a little bit of the Word every day. Okay, if you're not hearing much from God, from the Spirit, that is definitely a good place to start. We know that it's pretty easy for a believer to acknowledge that the Word of God is it's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It shows us the way that we're supposed to go. Okay? But what other ways does the Spirit of God speak to us that maybe we're not quite as accustomed to? Okay, that's kind of a given, right? If you're a Christian, you should have a Bible and read your Bible. That's where we're at. Well, some of the other ways include things, and this is not an all-inclusive list, okay, but some of the other ways that we're not as familiar with sometimes include dreams, visions, and prophecy. Okay, they are things that were elements of the New Testament believers' lives that we're going to look at this morning. Okay, the prophet Joel, in fact, started this under the Old Covenant. He spoke of the day that was coming, and now is, when all people would receive revelations from God through dreams, visions, and prophecy. Okay, via the Holy Spirit. Okay, through or by means of the Holy Spirit. In Joel chapter 2, verse 28 and 29, is where it says this to begin with. Joel 2:28, he said, "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh." This is basically God speaking. Remember, he's a prophet speaking as a voice of God. He said, "I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out of my Spirit." Okay, now we know that this Old Testament prophecy of Joel is now being fulfilled in our day because the New Testament writers adamantly wrote about it. Okay, they wrote about the day when it manifested in the New Covenant. Okay, if you remember, Jesus had told them to wait until they be endued with power from on high in the form of the Holy Spirit. Okay, they were, when that Spirit finally came and when they received the Holy Spirit, they were literally overwhelmed with the supernatural. Okay, it took them beyond what they could see, touch, taste, and feel to something that was beyond them, where they acknowledged this is of God. Something is happening that is beyond us. In fact, it was so supernatural in the way that it manifested that the people around them thought that maybe they had hit the wine bottle a little early in the day and had gotten drunk by 9 o'clock in the morning, because what they were seeing was this manifestation. These guys are it's not normal behavior. And so they suggested that maybe they were drunk. Well, Peter stands up and addresses the people, and he explains it like this. This is Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 14. It says, "But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, You men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be it known unto you this day, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunk, as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. It's 9 o'clock in the morning. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, when he said, verse 17, it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my capital S Spirit, Holy Spirit, upon all flesh. Okay, everybody say all flesh. Okay. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Holy Spirit, and they shall prophesy. Okay, Peter was literally letting those people and us know that what Joel had prophesied about God sending his Holy Spirit to speak to and through his people, was now here. Okay, this is the day of manifestation, right? It was the day that it all took place. Prophecy and dreams and visions in these days that we live in are powerful ways that God is speaking to us and through us. Okay, the significance of dreams and visions being how God speaks to, quote, all flesh, okay, including the sons and the daughters and the handmaidens, the old men and the young men, is that up to this point, visions and dreams and prophecy were directed by God to only those who were considered prophets or divine spokesmen. Okay, and I know this, I'll show you one scripture, but there's others. In Numbers chapter 12, verse 6, God says, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and will speak unto him in a dream. Okay, so if there's a prophet among you, I will give him that word. This is under the old covenant. Now we're going to see later how that the Holy Spirit offers gifts. Okay, and included in those gifts is the gift of prophecy. Okay, it's one of the, when you talk about the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit, prophecy is one of those. Okay, and that means that for God to speak to and through all of us, okay, you and I and every other, you know, devout, sincere believer, is not out of the ordinary anymore. Okay, it is not exceptional anymore. It is rather something to be expected and something to be sought after. Okay, now, I don't know how many of you guys are seeking after the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Some people are so afraid of those, they just, they're out there. Okay, but they're not seeking after them. Okay, well, I want to show you some things in 1 Corinthians. For starters, many of you know 1 Corinthians chapter 13 as the love chapter, right? Okay, he talks all about love and how we need to have love as a necessity as part of the believer's life. Okay, but 1 Corinthians 14, the next chapter, the very beginning of that chapter, he starts out by saying to pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. Okay, how many of you have sought out the gift of prophecy thinking, I want to be a prophet for God? Okay, not very many. Probably not. Look at these scriptures. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1. He says, to follow after charity or love and desire spiritual gifts, but rather or even more that you may prophesy. Okay, now that's kind of King James wordy, so I'm going to put it in the Amplified version. 1 Corinthians 14, 1 out of the Amplified says it like this, eagerly pursue and seek to acquire this love. Make it your aim, your great quest, and earnestly desire and cultivate the spiritual endowments or the gifts, especially that you may prophesy and interpret the divine will and purpose in inspired preaching and teaching. Okay, to earnestly desire the spiritual gifts means that they are not just something that you know about, okay, but they are something that you are actively, fervently, purposefully desiring to see them manifest in your own life. Okay, so prophecy, dreams, and visions. Let's define them a little bit. Take a closer look at it. So what is it going to look like when God is speaking to me or through me in one of these formats? So let's look at a vision first. A vision could be described simply as a revelation. Okay, something is revealed to you. Something you didn't previously know or maybe had no way to know, all of a sudden is revealed to you. Okay, it is witnessing something that is supernatural and that is not visible to the naked eye. Okay, now, to see someone miraculously healed is supernatural, okay? But it is something that you could see with your eyes. A vision is supernatural, but it is something you see without using your eyes. It is in your spirit that you see or know of something that is happening. Okay, visions are a way of seeing into the spiritual realm. Okay, how many know we live in a spiritual realm? We are flesh and blood living in a spiritual realm. Okay, there's angels, demons, it's all around us. God, Holy Spirit, there's demonic spirits. It's a spiritual world that we live in. Visions have been known to reveal the present, okay, where something you needed to know right now, all of a sudden you know, but also the future, where you can see beyond the natural, okay, where a clock doesn't matter. You're able to see past, to see into that spiritual realm. And it often involves the ability to see the spiritual entities that are at work in the physical realm. Okay, we live in a spiritual realm, but things are happening all around us all the time. Okay, hang with me. Okay, it's like we've talked about the Holy Spirit in the past, that we see Him at work, not by seeing Him physically, but by seeing what He is doing. Just like we look out in a parking lot, we see the leaves going by, we can see the wind without seeing the wind, right? We know that it's the wind. We know that that is what is moving those leaves. Well, when you see into the spiritual realm, you can see what is either the Holy Spirit or possibly a demonic spirit that is at work. You can see beyond the natural. You can see what is altering or interfering with a circumstance. You see it for what it is. Okay, I tell you, it'll keep you from getting frustrated with people, because people sometimes do really stupid stuff and it's offensive and all these things. But when you're seeing past the natural, you begin to see what's behind that, and it's not so offensive. Okay, it'll help you. Now, the Apostle Paul, describing visions, he described his conversion experience on the road to Damascus. Some of you remember that. He has an encounter, right? The Lord, it confronts him. Okay, he described that as a heavenly vision, okay, in which he was confronted by the Lord Jesus Christ and heard Him speak to him. Okay, now that is not uncommon for a vision that we get to be accompanied by a word from the Lord. It is God speaking to us about something. He is revealing something. So we're going to sense or know that this is the Lord speaking. Okay, one example is in Genesis chapter 15, talking about Abraham. It said, 15:1, said, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision. Okay, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Okay, so just like with the Apostle Paul, the Lord spoke to Abraham through a vision. Okay, it may not have been an actual audible voice, okay, but it was definitely clear enough for him to understand. Okay, the Lord spoke to him through a vision. Okay, the Lord went on with Abraham to give him some very specific instructions about his future, things that were going to happen or that He was wanting him to do. Okay, so another thing with visions is that it's also very common for visions to be accompanied by angels. Okay, we're seeing into a supernatural realm, we're seeing into the spiritual realm. Guess who lives there, right? Guess who is a part of that on a daily basis? It is angels. Angels can be adequately described as a divine messenger of God. Okay, they have a message, they're going to give it from God. Okay, so to be included in the act of divinely revealing something to you from God kind of stands the reason that angels might be a part of that. They are a divine messenger of God. Okay, angels are much more than just the little figurine that we put up on our bookshelf. Okay, they look cool. They got these little wings, maybe a little halo. Okay, they are so much more than that in our daily life. Okay, as far as what is happening, they are now and always have been very active in revealing the plans of the Lord. Okay, how many remember a guy named Jacob in the Bible? He actually wrestled with an angel and he would not let him go until he told him what God was trying to get across to him. Okay, he knew that that angel had something that was a message for him from God. Okay, angels announced the coming of John the Baptist and actually told John's father what to name him. Okay, they were actively involved in revealing that to him. Okay, the angels spoke to Mary about the Savior that was to be born through her. The angels were there when the stone on the tomb was rolled back. Think Easter, right? Okay, and the stone is rolled back. The angels were there to help do that and then to communicate with the disciples that what has happened is what the Lord Jesus Christ said was going to happen. Okay, they communicated that message unto the disciples. Now, there is a passage in Acts chapter 10 where the Lord is lining things up for the Apostle Peter to begin to spread the gospel in a new way, something that was going to go against what Peter thought was normal. He's saying the gospel is not just for the Jews, it's also for the Gentiles. Okay, and the gospel is not just for the Gentiles, it's also for the Jews. And he had this message he was trying to get across to Peter. So he uses an angel to present a vision to a man named Cornelius. And he gets Cornelius' attention, the angel does, by simply calling out his name. Okay, let's read this in Acts chapter 10, the first three verses. It says, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band. That cracks me up when I read that. He's with an Italian band. I'll just leave it there. But okay, verse 2. A devout man, he's describing Cornelius. He says, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. Okay, then it goes on, and just for time's sake, I'll paraphrase it, but it goes on to tell how Cornelius receives a vision that he was to send some men to a city called Joppa, and when they got to Joppa, they would find a man named Peter. They were supposed to get Peter and bring him back to Cornelius' house. This is what the vision was. Okay, meanwhile, Peter, who at the very same time was also seeking the Lord as to what do you want me to do? What is the next step for me? Okay, he was wanting to know what the Lord was wanting him to do. He also has a vision instructing him who he is now supposed to spread the gospel to. Okay, and the scripture tells us this in Acts chapter 10, verse 19. It says, while Peter thought on the vision, this Holy Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek thee. Arise, therefore, and get thee down, and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius, and said, behold, I am he whom you seek. What is the cause wherefore you are come? And they said, Cornelius the centurion, a just man and one that feareth God and of good report among all the nation of the Jews, was warned from God by an holy angel to send for thee into his house and to hear words of thee. Excuse me. If Peter had not received the vision from the Lord, he would not have gone with those men. It violated the customs of that day for him to go to a centurion's house named Cornelius. He would not have done it. Peter was a stickler to the customs. Okay, he was trying to hold on to some of that as part of his walk with God, and he simply would not have gone. Now, I have found that often when God gives you a vision, reveals something to you, okay, it is done in that manner because it is something that may otherwise not be received. Okay, if God just, had someone walk up and said, "Hey, man, I think you should do this," you might not do it. Okay, or even if you read something in the scriptures and it kind of stands out as, maybe I'm supposed to do that, you still might not do it. Okay, you might think it was just some crazy idea, okay, or something that didn't make any sense. But when the Lord reveals it to you through a vision, it is entreated into your heart. It clicks. Okay, it makes the unreasonable reasonable. It makes it make sense to you. The Holy Spirit is going to use visions to speak clearly to you about what to do or what not to do. Okay, if you're listening, if you're letting him lead, Acts chapter 16, verse 6, talking about the Apostle Paul, it said, when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. Okay, in other words, he resisted against them. And they passed by Mysia and came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, "Come over into Macedonia and help us." And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. See, Paul and his companions were on their way to preach the gospel in Asia, but the Holy Spirit wouldn't let them. Okay, that's because God had a different plan. Okay, they had come up with this and thought that's the direction you're supposed to go, and they got to that point, and it says the Spirit forbade them. Okay, in other words, it's like they began to know that there was something not right with it. Asia was not open to the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ yet. Okay, but the area around Macedonia was ripe for the picking. Okay, it was ready for the harvest. Wouldn't it be nice to have the Spirit alter your course? Because the path that you're on is going to be extremely difficult and not really the one God wanted, but the path that God wants you to go is going to be fantastic. Okay? Wouldn't it be nice if we could hear the Spirit and we feel like we're getting stopped going this way, and all of a sudden this other door opens up and we go that way, and it's huge blessing. It's fantastic. It's outstanding. Okay, that is one of the things that God will use visions for in your life. Okay, to help keep you from going down a road that's just going to be difficult, trial, trouble, all that mess. We don't need that. I don't want that in my life. I know God can grow us through that. Sometimes we go through stuff, but I don't like that stuff. And I ask God, and maybe this is being selfish and maybe kind of a whiny baby, but sometimes I ask God, I don't want to do it the hard way. I don't want to learn it the hard way. If I can learn it the better, easier way, I'll go that route. God, I'm listening. Okay. And I kid you not, I believe God takes me down that easier road because of that request. Because he doesn't want your life to be miserable. I know we have scars and wounds and things from, the tough times. I've got plenty of those from my BC days. Okay, so that's why at this point in life, I'm saying, God, let me go this route. Okay, and I'll get the message. I'll seek you until I hear your message. Okay, well, God will use visions like that in your life to help keep you on the track that he wants you on. So that's a little about visions. What about dreams? And now we've talked about dreams a little bit in the past. What is the difference between a dream and a vision? Okay, a dream is an experience of unreal events that occur in the mind of a person that is asleep. In other words, the simple way to say it is, visions occur while you're awake, dreams occur while you're asleep. Okay, you wake up from it and have to gain an understanding. Now, I love it when God speaks to me through dreams. At this point in my life, I'd say God probably speaks to me through a dream at least once a week. Okay, that something is revealed, something is spoken to me. God is using them to reveal something about my life or something about a situation or something regarding maybe even someone else in my life. Okay, He gives me direction through those dreams to do something or to not do something. Okay, a lot like a vision, right? He often will help me to understand a current event or something that is going on in my life. And sometimes I call it like a slap in the face, kind of awakening moment, okay, where I don't realize that something is happening. I'm right in the middle of it, oblivious to something going on in my life, and all of a sudden, I wake up from a dream, I seek the Lord for the interpretation, and it's like, oh, that's not about somebody else, that's about me. And it just stands out as like, oh, now I get it. Now I understand. This whole time, I thought it was for so-and-so. Right? And that happens so often in the Christian life. We think when we read stuff that it's for somebody else. The reality is God's probably trying to get a message to you. And sometimes that's what He'll use this for. I'll be praying about an interpretation on a dream, seeking the Spirit, and all of a sudden it comes to the surface that, whoa, that's for me. Or that's what this is about. Okay, now, when I say that the Holy Spirit speaks to me every week through my dreams, okay, my understanding or my interpretation of those dreams varies in clarity. Okay, sometimes I just don't get it. Sometimes I just don't understand what it is that is going on. Once in a while, I wake up and it's very clear right from the beginning. Whew, that's what that was. Okay, it hardly takes a few moments to get it. Okay, other times I have to ponder on a dream and seek for days for the full understanding of what that dream meant. Okay, just this week I had a dream and I only remembered little bits and pieces of it. Okay, but the main piece that I did remember was about a current event in my life. It had to do with taxes, I'll just let you know. And I'm like, what is that about? And so I sought the Lord on it. Okay, I meditated on it. I sought the understanding from the Holy Spirit for probably a day and a half. And I finally prayed to God, and I said, God, I don't get it. If there's something I need to know about that area in my life, you're going to have to speak to me again, because I'm not getting it through this. Something's not clicking yet. Okay. And so far, okay, that was several days ago, so far I haven't gotten anything else on it. So I don't know if it was just because it was a current event. We had just turned our taxes in a couple days before that. I don't know if that was part of it or what that was about. I'll find out, because I believe I asked. He's going to reveal. Okay, the key to understanding how the Spirit speaks through dreams is all about the interpretation. Okay, if you remember Daniel in the Bible, okay, he was called on more than one occasion to interpret people's dreams. Okay, somebody else's dream. Okay, the person had dreamt that something that they knew was significant. Okay, they had dreamt something that it was troubling, it was thought-provoking, it was something that they knew was probably a divine message from God, but they couldn't understand it. They didn't know what it was about. So Daniel, being moved upon by the Spirit of God, would understand the symbolism in the dream and explain that to him. Okay? And this seems like a pretty good time to remind you that dreams are very, very seldom literal. Okay? You remember that. Some of you that went through the dreams, a little course we did. Okay? If you dream about your dog, or you dream about your mother, or you dream about your car, your dream is probably not actually about your mother or your car or your dog. Those are symbolic of something else in your life. Hey, now, I taught a series on Wednesday nights back in September on dreams. And I think every one of those series in that, every one of those sermons in that series is online on our website. Okay, so I'm not going to take the time really today to press into how to interpret, okay, and get into that, but I want to say this much. You have to start by determining where your dream came from, because not all dreams are from God. Okay, some of it is your carnal flesh has desires and things that kind of rise up and play a part in your dream. Sometimes, like maybe my tax dream, had something to do with current events. It's the busyness of the mind, right? It's things that were playing out in your sleep and your mind, okay? Other times, it can literally be demonic in nature, where the devil is going to use something to try to intimidate you, to try to confuse you, to get you steered off in a direction that had nothing to do with what God wanted you to be doing. But when a dream is of God, okay, I tend to know fairly quickly where it was from. If I wake up and I'm afraid or I'm confused, probably wasn't from God. God is not the author of confusion. Okay, he's the author of peace. So if you're confused about a dream, and you know, I'm not saying that it doesn't make sense, because hardly any of my dreams make sense. But when it confuses me, like I thought I was supposed to do something and now all of a sudden I'm supposed to do this, and it's like contradicting things that God has already spoken, or kind of confuses, you know, what is, I thought the Word of God said this and you're telling me this. If it's confusing, it's probably not from God. Okay, if I wake up and I'm afraid, you know, something bad happened, I see my, you know, kid get in a car wreck and he dies, or, you know, it's something that stands out like that, it's probably not of God. Okay, and again, those kind of dreams are not literal. I wouldn't go around saying, oh, Elijah, you're never going to drive, you know, because I had a dream. You know, it doesn't work that way. Okay, it was probably, I'll just tell you, a car in a dream is a vehicle. It means something is in motion. Okay, so take that if you see a car in your dream. Okay, anyway, I want to get ahead of this. I think it's important when we seek, when we find out that a dream was from God, that we, I just want to give you this before I leave that. The number one tip for interpretation is to let the Holy Spirit do the interpreting. Okay, don't input your own thoughts and think, well, I think it means this. Ask the Holy Spirit and he will quicken it. It'll become real. And at some point, it'll stand out and you'll be like, oh, that's what that is. And there won't be any more question about it. Okay, that's like I said, if I seek the Lord for a day and a half and I'm just not getting it, you know, I'm going to go to God and say, God, I'm not getting it. Okay, so if I need to know something, you'll need to speak it in a different way or speak it again. Okay, the Holy Spirit is the one that knows what God is saying. Who knows the mind of the Spirit but the Spirit of God? Okay, he knows what God is wanting to reveal to you, and he'll reveal it when it's asked. Now, throughout this series, I've been asking the question of how does the Holy Spirit speak to you, and how does the Holy Spirit speak through you? Okay, he will speak to you through visions and dreams and prophecy, but he will also speak through you through dreams and visions and prophecy. Okay, God has often given me a dream or a vision that he wants me to tell someone else about, something that's going on in their life. And I don't have a dream about, oh gosh, I had a dream about Pam, I need to go tell Pam. It's not literal. I have a dream about a woman, and it happens to be, maybe it's my sister. Okay, a sister in a dream often means somebody in the church. Okay, doesn't mean that it's my literal sister. I'm not gonna call my sister up in North Dakota and say, hey, I had a dream about you. It's not literal. Okay, it often means that it's somebody that maybe I'm close to, okay, that is part of the fellowship, that is my sister in the Lord. I'm getting way too far into dream stuff. But the idea is that God is going to speak through you as far as dreams and visions and prophecy as well. Now, the one topic or medium that I haven't really pressed into very deeply yet is that of prophecy. Okay, 1 Corinthians 14:1. Out of the Amplified again, it said, to eagerly pursue and seek to acquire this love. Make it your aim and your great quest. And earnestly desire and cultivate the spiritual gifts. Okay, especially that you may prophesy. okay, or interpret the divine will and purpose in inspired preaching and teaching. In Acts chapter 2, verse 17, when Peter was explaining it, he said, "It shall come to pass in the last days that I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and my handmaidens will I pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy." Okay, it said they won't be able to, they won't maybe, but it does say that they shall prophesy. Okay, it was given as something to seek because it's what we want to be happening. Prophecy is awesome. I'll just leave it at that. It is awesome. Okay, it is like the Amplified Bible put it, it said, to interpret the divine will and purpose and then express it through inspired teaching and preaching. The simple way to say that is, prophecy is to know the divine will and purpose of God and to tell somebody about it. Simply put, okay, it means that you understand something. You are being used as a messenger, a voice of God, that God is speaking something to you, and you express that to someone else. Maybe it just comes across as an opinion or a discussion that you have that, hey man, I think you're supposed to da-da-da-da-da. Okay, it isn't always the "thus saith the Lord, thou shalt not," and have some big prophecy. It doesn't always happen that way. Sometimes it can. I mean, I've had that happen. But oftentimes it's just somebody sharing something with you. It could come from the pulpit. It could come from your neighbor. It could come from somebody else in your life. Okay, many, many times in my life, I've had someone prophesy over my life, telling me something about the plans that God had for my life. And to be straightforward, I am standing before you today as a pastor because of Christians who were willing to let God speak through them a word of prophecy to me. People named it. People laid it out in front of me. Said, "Gary, this is what's happening in your life. This is what I see you in 10 years. This is what is coming." Okay, prophecy is a spiritual gift that we'll see next week. We'll get into it. But we'll see that prophecy is a spiritual gift that God uses to build his church. Okay, it is a form of edification. Okay, to edify means to build up. Okay, it's a form of edification that God uses to build one another up. Okay, to strengthen one another in your faith. Okay, now I don't want to leave you with a cliffhanger. Okay, but prophecy is such an in-depth topic that I'm not going to get into it all today. We will look at it next week because we're going to look at the gifts of the Holy Spirit in a little more depth. Okay, and one of those being the one that we're told, seek and earnestly desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Because God will use you in that way. I absolutely believe that about every person that's listening in this room or online. Okay, God can and will use you to speak as his voice, to speak into someone else's life. Okay, in the meantime, as you go through this week, as you're, you know, seeking a greater spiritual understanding of what God is wanting to speak to you and through you, pay attention to what jumps off the page of your Bible. Okay, start with that. That God is speaking through his word every day. It is alive and well. Okay, and he will speak through that. Expect to see more into that spiritual realm and actually know and understand things that you have no other way of physically knowing. You didn't physically see that this was going to happen, and yet you know that something is going to happen, something you don't see with your eyes. And if you awake with a very vivid dream, okay, something that stands out and you're like, whoa, there's something to that, okay, remember as much of it as you can. Okay, I encourage writing down, but remember as much of that dream as you can, and then ask the Holy Spirit to give you any understanding that you might need from that. The Holy Spirit might just tell you, hey man, you ate way too much pizza before you went to bed last night and it gave you kooky dreams. Okay, that happens. But the Holy Spirit also might tell you something that is life-changing, something that you need to know about what's happening or going to happen in your life or somebody else's. It's important to pay attention. Listen for the direction of your life. The Holy Spirit will show you that. I believe that. Well, Father God, we're going to praise you this morning. We're going to lift you up. Father, these are deep spiritual topics. They're things that, Father, you're wanting us to go further in our walk with you, to go beyond what we can see and delve into the spiritual realm, have an understanding of how you're at work, to be able to see more clearly when your Holy Spirit is at work, to be able to see more clearly when a demonic spirit is at work. Lord, that you'll help us to gain understanding through visions, dreams, through prophecy, Lord, that we acknowledge when it comes from you and that we give you the credit, that we say thank you and point to you saying, God, I know that came from you. And then we move forward with our new information. We move forward with that vision that you've revealed in our heart, Lord. I pray that this week as we go forth that we just have a greater awareness of what's really happening around us. Lord, that we won't get caught up in the day-to-day mundane or the things that are not of you, but that, Father, we'll be ever seeking and desiring, earnestly seeking and desiring your spiritual gifts, those things that will open up the supernatural to us. Help us to see beyond ourselves, to see what you are up to, Lord. We're praising you for it. We thank you for it. We give you the credit and praise and glory for it. In Jesus' name, we say, amen.